Fusion, good to be with you tonight. My name is Bo. My Bible closed on me. I'll get to it. My name is Bo. I get to help lead this Fusion community. So glad that you are all here with us this evening. Want to add my welcome to all the mothers here. Happy Mother's Day to you. Hope you had a great day being celebrated or celebrating your mom. I hope you guys had a great day. We had a fantastic day in my home celebrating my wife, Blake, with my two children. Blake's not here tonight. She heard I was preaching, and she was like, nah, I'm good, man. I'll go somewhere else. No. She's volunteering at Kids Church tonight. But we celebrated Blake all day. All day, I would ask my daughter, Austin, who's 2.5. I would say, Austin, what's special about today? And at one point, she just looked at me blankly. And I was like, Austin, is today Mommy's special day? And Austin said, no, today's Austin's special day. And I was like, that's the other 364 days a year. Like, today is for mom. So hope you guys had a great day celebrating mom. So notes down. Thanks, Chris. Hey, grab your bulletin if you would. I'm so excited to be continuing in our series, God Never Said That. You know, it seems like the spreading of false information is easier today than it ever has been. How many of us see things being shared on Facebook? And because it was on the internet, obviously, this thing is true, right? And you feel all this pressure and you're like, I think I should probably share this with all of my friends and loved ones so they can also know this vital piece of information. Every few months, we see messages come across, personal messages to you from Mark Zuckerberg himself, saying, next week, we're going to start charging for Facebook. It's not going to be free anymore. We're going to do a monthly subscription to this. But you, yes, you can be exempt from this subscription fee if you just share this message with all of your people. And if you do, a little blue check will end up next to your name, and you won't have to pay for Facebook. Who's seen that message? That message is false, you guys. It's not true. Stop sharing that message. Stop passing that sort of thing on. Thank goodness for Snopes, right? Snopes.com. You guys know about Snopes.com, the ultimate source of truth in the universe? Snopes is where we go to find out if something that we found on the internet is actually true or not. Well, like Facebook posts being shared, there are so many times where we hear people say something allegedly from the Bible. And it's quoted and it's passed along. But the truth is, the Bible doesn't actually say that thing. If only there was a Snopes for the Bible, right? Like, if only there was some way, something we could go to find out what the Bible actually says. Wait, there is the Bible. This is the thing that we go to. In this series, we're looking at some of the most common misquotes from the Bible, and we're finding out what does the Bible actually say about that topic. There's an unfortunate truth in life for all of us. There will be difficult seasons. If you're not in a difficult season right now, that probably means you just came through a difficult season. And I hate to break this to you, but there's another difficult season coming up ahead. Now listen, I'm not trying to put all this negativity out there. I want to speak God's best over you. I believe your best days are ahead. I believe he has blessing for you to look forward to in your life. And yet the truth also remains. There will be difficult seasons that we are all going to walk through. And if you aren't personally going through a difficult season right now, I am certain you can think of somebody in your life, a family member, a loved one, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a roommate, somebody that is experiencing going through a season that is difficult. It could be a season of financial burden. It could be a bad report from the doctor, a relationship that is blowing up, depression that is just crippling, struggles at work. And there's times where life's difficulties come, and the burden, it just seems so heavy. And at some point, we all hit this point where we say, I am exhausted. I just don't think I can carry this anymore. I just don't think I can go on any longer. And in that moment, inevitably, some well-meaning, well-intended friend will say to you, whether face-to-face or usually on Facebook, they will say, well, you got to remember, God will never give you more than you can handle. But what if God never said that? And if he never said that, could there be times where God does, in fact, give you more than you can handle? And why would a God who is good give you more than you can handle? Would you pray with me as we begin to look at God's word tonight? Jesus, we are so grateful for this place. We are so grateful for this community. Lord, I am once again just reminded of how great your name is. I'm so grateful for your word tonight, Jesus. I thank you that it is alive and that it is active, and that when we apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So I pray that you would speak to us through your word and your spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Fusion, it's a really big deal that you know what God's word really says. If you plan on growing as a follower of Jesus, it's going to be vital for you to understand what the Bible actually says. You see, from the very beginning, Satan's primary tactic to cause us to stray from God's will in our lives has been to undermine and to confuse what God really said. In Genesis 3, you can see it in your bulletin. It'll be on the screens as well. Look at what it says. It says, one day, the serpent asked the woman, did God really say, in fact, stop right there, circle that in your bulletin or in your Bible, circle that. Did God really say, you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it. Or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Look how the enemy works here. From the very beginning, he has been trying to confuse what God really said. Did God really say? How many of you know that that idea is still so prevalent in our culture and our society today? Did God really say sex should be saved for the context of marriage? Did God really say we should tithe and honor him with our money? Did God really say you should serve others before you serve yourself? Listen, the enemy knows that if he can get you to distrust and discredit what God actually said, it won't be long before you are distrusting and discrediting God himself. And the battle for your soul and your quality of life will always center on the battle for what you believe about what God actually said. And this series, and every time we teach God's word accurately, it's not just teaching or informing or inspiring. We are going to war with you and for you so that we can accurately know what God's word really says and teaches us. Now, why do so many people believe it when someone says, you know, the Bible says God will never give you more than you can handle? Well, it comes from a misapplication and a misunderstanding of something powerful that God actually did say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 through the Apostle Paul. In this letter, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and here's what he says. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is what, Fusion? Say it out loud. Faithful. He will not let you be what? Tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. Now listen, there is good news here. There is very good news here. God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's good news for somebody tonight. That struggle, that temptation, that sin, that addiction, it is not too big for you. It is not too powerful for you. God is faithful to you, and he'll provide you a way out from that thing. You are not doomed to always give in to that temptation. But notice these verses, what Paul says. This is specifically talking about temptation and sin, not about all of life, not about every circumstance you're going to encounter. What it says is that he won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but it never says he won't give you more than you can handle in other areas of your life. The truth is, the Bible is filled with stories of people who encountered situations that were too big for them to handle. Moses is like, I'm not a good public speaker. I'm not a good leader. These people are crazy and they are wearing me out. This is too big for me. I can't handle this. Gideon said, I'm the weakest of my clan and the weakest of my family. I don't have what it takes to do what you're asking me to do. Esther, as she was preparing to go to a king and plead to save her people, was deeply, deeply afraid of the situation she was encountering. King David, when he realized the weight and the gravity of his sin, look at what he says. He says, my guilt overwhelmed me. Like a burden too heavy to bear, I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. Even Jesus himself, as he was preparing to go to the cross and endure everything that the cross was going to put him through, look what it says. He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. See, God never said that he wouldn't give you more than you can handle. Sometimes life can feel like it's more than we can handle. In fact, it doesn't just feel like that. It is that. So here's the question. Why would a good God allow us to have more than we can handle in our lives? Three things. Number one, write this down. So we depend on his presence. So we depend on his presence. How many of you know that when things are going well, it's easy to stop being aware of your need for God? When your job is going well and you're getting all of those raises, when things are just going great in your relationships, when you're walking in all of the blessing that God has for you, how often do we seem to forget the one doing the blessing in our lives? But when things get bad, suddenly we remember to pray. My prayer life is never stronger than when I am facing a hard and scary and painful situation. When that job that made you feel so secure is suddenly gone. When those relationships where you were finding all of your belonging are suddenly not there for you. When these things where you've been putting all of your identity in them are no longer there for you. Oh, suddenly we remember how bad we need God in our lives. Write this down. Never let the storms of life cause you to doubt the presence of God. Listen, God never said you won't face storms in your life. But the key is to allow those storms to drive you to God, not away from him. When things get rough, when things get hard, when things seem to be more than you can handle, it's those moments where we remember that God's presence is where we are comforted. We remember how necessary his presence is for us. When, like I said, when Moses was leading the people of Israel through the desert to the promised land, it became too much for him. The constant complaining all the time, the constant criticism all the time, enemies from outside the camp and from his own people within the camp. Anybody relate to Moses right now? the constant, the logistical needs that were always demanding his attention. I could think of some times in my life that I've dealt with all of these things. And it all just became too much for Moses. And he knew he was in over his head. But look at what Moses says to God in the middle of this situation. Exodus 33. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." That is so good. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Fusion, I cannot tell you how many times I've prayed that prayer on behalf of this community. Saying, God, you're sending us somewhere. But if your presence isn't going with us, we're not going. We only want to be in and near your presence. Listen, Moses, he took this moment of being in over his head, of all of it being more than he can handle, and he allowed it to drive him to God's presence. He didn't blame God. He didn't say, if you're the one allowing all of this to happen, forget you. No, no, no. He knew that because all of this was happening, he desperately needed God's presence in his life. If you find yourself facing more than you can handle in your life, Fusion, get desperate for God's presence. He is not scared of your storm. He will see you through it. The second reason he gives us more than we can handle, number two, so we rely on his promises. So we rely on his promises. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Listen, Paul, the guy who wrote the thing that is so misunderstood about this topic, he knew he was going to face situations that were more than he could handle. And he knew that God would give us those situations so that we would not rely on ourselves, but that we would rely on God who raises the dead. I love this. Paul faced situations that made him feel like he was as good as dead. But even that didn't bother him because he knows that he has the God who raises dead things to life. Even if this thing kills me, that's fine. My God makes dead things live. He would go on to write, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." That is good news. This is one of the most important verses for us to know, Fusion. God has made you promises. But do you know what those promises are? Because when the storms of life come, when things are too much for you to handle, when you are in over your head, it is the promises of God that are going to be a life preserver for you in those moments. Do you know his promise to never leave you or forsake you? Do you know his promise that he will work all things for your good? Do you know his promise that he will walk with you in the valley of the shadow of death? When things become more than we can handle, we need to turn to God's promises and remember that because Jesus raised from the dead, those promises, they're true for us as well. Finally, God will give us more than we can handle so we experience his power. So we experience his power. One of the biggest problems with believing the myth that God will never give you more than you can handle is that inevitably you're going to face a situation that is more than you can handle. And when that situation comes, when that moment arrives, you're going to think to yourself, God will never give me more than I can handle. Therefore, I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. Be strong. Be strong. I can handle this. And that line of thinking, it leads us to doing this thing in our own power. But if you're like me, you know, I don't have the power to deal with this situation. I can't handle all of this. But here's the truth. God will give you more than you can handle sometimes. But God will never give you more than he can handle. He will never give you more than what he can handle. And when we realize that truth, that this isn't up to our power to see us through this thing, oh, that's when we start to rely on God's power. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians about a situation, this thorn in his flesh, he called it. And scholars still to this day, they don't agree what he was talking about. But what we do know is that it was a situation that was more than he could handle. And he prayed for God to take this thing away. Any of you ever have a situation you face and you pray that God would fix it and handle it and that he would do it now, right? God, heal this disease. God, fix this marriage. Heal this relationship. God, give us a child. God, help us raise this child. God, let this person I love recognize you as their Savior. God, take this thing away from me that I have inside of me. And when it doesn't happen in the time or in the manner that we want, it feels like too much. It feels like it's more than we can handle. And Paul understood that. And that's when he wrote some of the most profound and life-giving words in all of the Bible, for me at least. And here's what he said. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Fusion, can we pause for a second? Would you hear the voice of God tonight in this moment? Would you hear your loving Father speak to you in this moment right now, in whatever your situation is, whatever you're going through, hear the voice of God right now. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. He says, I delight when it is more than I can handle. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When you are weakest, Fusion, that is when his power is made perfect. That's when it is put on display. It's those moments when you remember how powerful God is. Alex, if you'd join me up here. Listen, Fusion, I need to confess something. The truth is, I don't always feel like standing up here and preaching. Now, don't get me wrong. Preaching God's word to this community, it is my favorite thing to do. But I don't always feel strong up here. I don't always feel confident up here. I don't always feel like coming up here and speaking. I have nights where I'm like, I am not very funny tonight. I have a lot of nights where I'm like, I am not profound tonight. And I especially don't feel like I've got this thing perfected. Do you know what it's like to preach in a marriage series like The Vow that we did a few months ago? And to be up here preaching about pursuing your spouse well, and the whole time have your wife sitting in the front row looking at you like, oh, really? It's exposing. Tell the truth, shame the devil right now. But I'm reminded constantly that God never said to me, you preach if you feel like it. I'm called to this. I'm called to this thing. And listen, I am so glad to be in a community that is rooted in God's grace, where even the person preaching can admit, I am flawed, I don't have it all together, I am in this process just like you are. But second, God somehow still works through my imperfect sermons on topics that I have not totally mastered. When I am preaching on something I do not totally 100% have down in my own life, and the enemy is in my ear the whole time, reminding me what a phony I am, what a hypocrite I am, how this is just a huge waste of everyone's time. And I finish a sermon and we start singing and I get off stage and Fusion, if I'm honest, I want to crawl under my chair because of how I feel. But then afterwards, somebody comes up to me and they say, Bo, thank you for sharing God's truth with us tonight. Because of what you said from God's word, I'm going to be different. It's in those moments that I am reminded that God's power is still at work, even and especially when we are weak. And if I had it all together, if I was perfect, God wouldn't need to show up. But because you've got me, Fusion, God's got to show up all the time. You're going to experience more than you can handle. If you're married, you're going to experience more than you can handle. If you're single, you're going to experience more than you can handle. If you're going to be a high school student or a college student, you're going to experience more than you can handle. If you're going to raise kids, you're going to experience more than you can handle. If you're going to be a light in dark places, you're going to experience more than you can handle. If you're going to work with people, you're going to experience more than you can handle. If you're going to come to church, if you're going to serve in this place, if you're going to lead in the Fusion community, you're going to experience more than you can handle. And when that happens, instead of saying, I've got to be strong because God will never give me more than I can handle, therefore I can handle this, we need to say, this is something bigger than me. This is more than I can handle. And because of that, I will depend on his presence. I will rely on his promise. And thank God I'm going to experience his power in this situation. When it's too much for me, it is not too much for him. And yes, I'm in a storm, but I'm not in this thing alone because my God promised he will never leave me or forsake me. I want to do something even a little different than how we normally end. I'm going to ask everybody to stand right now. In your life, if there is a situation that is more than you can handle, that is bigger than you, that is beyond your power and your capability, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand right now. Yeah, hands everywhere. Now listen, if you're somebody who doesn't have your hand up right now, I want you to look and see these hands. And I want you to even identify somebody. In fact, if your hand's in the air, I still want you to look and identify somebody around you. Because we're going to pray for each other right now. And we're not going to move, and you don't have to lay hands on anybody, but I want you to get somebody in mind. That way everybody in here knows somebody's praying for me in this situation. Let's pray together. God, you see these hands in the air. You see these lives that are experiencing something that is more than we can handle. Lord, I pray for all of these people in these situations, God. Would we experience your presence in a fresh way, in a tender way, in a personal way, Jesus? Through the hard situation that's more than we would handle, would we look back and say, I know God's presence more now because I went through that thing? Would we remember and rely on your promises? Would you bring to mind the promises of Scripture by your Holy Spirit that we can speak to ourselves, that we can speak over our situations, that we can speak over our lives? That we would remember that you will never leave us or forsake us. That you will work all things to the good of those who love you and are called according to your purposes. That even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. And that is good news for us. And Lord, I pray for all of these hands right now, including my own. Would we see your power move, Jesus? Would we see something miraculous take place in this situation where we can only give glory, we can only give praise to you because we know we could not do that thing. And Lord, as we begin to worship now, would you remind us that this is not too big for you? That you give us more than we can handle, but you do not give us more than what you can handle. We love you, Jesus. Teach us to rely on you more, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.